Enjoyed the good singing tonight. Sister Collins, there ain't many people that I could stand up here behind, and I don't know how to move the mic. I just want to say thankful for each one that has come out tonight, and I do have a desire for your prayers tonight. I feel very weak and in need of the Lord's help, and we always need the Lord's help every time we stand up here. We can't stand up here and do it on our own. We need the guidance. We need the Spirit of God with us every time that we try to stand. So y'all do pray for me tonight. I beg you. Isaiah 55, first verse. And Isaiah wrote these things, and the first word he says, ho. That's important. The things that he had to say, these scriptures that he's got written down here, they were very important. And ho is something to that they would holler out and attract somebody's attention. Trying to get your attention of something that's important. You know, I tried to look up the definition, and there wasn't a whole lot said about it except that when somebody cries out, ho, you need to pay attention. And one of the things it had was, we've heard in times and watching old movies and different things that we've heard on these ship when there are those shipmen that are, they're on the ship and they're looking out over the horizon and they say, land ho. Why'd they say that? Because they're trying to get those that's on the ship to get their attention. That they were watchmen, they were lookouts. They was looking for the horizon as they were on the ships that they were out sailing for days and days and weeks and months, that they were looking for land. They didn't have the radars and the GPSs that we have today that they could look at a screen and say, well, we're getting close. We're getting close. They had man set at a certain position that they could watch for that land. And when they would see land, they'd holler, land ho, to let those that's on the ship, their legs were seaworthy, that they were just wore out from being out on the water for so long. That can you imagine how these people felt when they hollered out land ho, that there was land that they was coming up on, that they was going to be able to get off the ships and to get on the solid ground. They'd be excited, I'm sure, after being out on the water for months and months and months. Now, we're not talking about these ships and stuff of the days that we have now that are so huge. I understand that some of these cruise ships and stuff, when you get out on the water, that you can't even hardly tell that you're on the sea, that they're so big that the waves don't hardly have an effect on them unless it's a bad storm that's come up on them. But can you imagine how these shipmen had been out there for so long, how good they felt knowing that there was land ahead that they was going to be able to get off. Well, tonight I want you to think about that. Any of you here that might be lost, separated from God tonight, I want you to think about that. Think about that. They wanted to get off of those ships because their legs were weary. Well, I'm hoping that you want to get off of what you're dealing with, that your hearts are weary, that you listen to the things that's going to be said tonight. That's what Isaiah wanted them to do. Listen, I've got something to say to you. And he goes on, first verse, it says, ho, everyone that thirsteth, come ye to the waters, and he that hath no money, come ye buy and eat. Yea, come buy wine and milk without money and without price. Wherefore do you spend money for that which is not bread? And you labor for that which satisfieth not. Hearken diligently unto me, and eat ye that which is good, and let your soul delight in its fatness. Once again, incline your ear and come unto me. Here and your soul shall live. And I will make an everlasting covenant with you, even the sure mercies of David. It says, behold, I have given him for a witness to the people, a leader and a commander to the people. And says, behold, thou shalt call a nation that thou knowest not, and nations that knew not thee shall run unto thee because of the Lord thy God and for the Holy One of Israel. For he hath glorified thee. Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he may be near. Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts. And let him return to the Lord and he will have mercy upon him. And to our God, for he will abundantly pardon. It says, let the wicked forsake his way. And I've already talked about the wicked this week. Have I not in Matthew? Where he talked about the wheat and the tares and the talked about the children. The wicked ones was the children of the devil. The wicked one was the devil. I've done talked about that this week. In verse 7 says, let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man. The unrighteous man, those that have never been saved by the grace of God. The things that we've preached, the things that we've been trying to teach this week, it ain't changed. If you're wicked and you've not been saved by the grace of God, you're wicked and you're still the child of the devil. That ain't changed. You're still unrighteous. I talked about the Pharisees the other night being self-righteous. They thought they were godly. There was a day that I had thought I was doing the right thing, and the only thing I was self-righteous when I joined the church and I was baptized. There's nothing ever really happened inside of me. But what I done, I thought was the right thing. But all I was self-righteous. Something hadn't happened inside of me. All I was doing was changing the outward man. The inward man had not been changed. I got wet. I was still lost. I was still separated from God. Even though in my mind I thought I'd done the right thing. But here when Isaiah was talking about the wicked and the unrighteous, he's still talking about those that are lost and separated from God. Brother Miller talked the other night about the woman at the well, and I want to turn over there. When Jesus was there at the well, 14th chapter, John, I take that back. It ain't the fourth chapter, it's the fourth chapter. 10th verse. And Jesus was talking to her, and Jesus answered and said unto her, if thou knowest the gift of God, and who is it that saith to thee, give me a drink, thou wouldst have asked of him, and he would have given thee living water. If you know what you was asking for, I would have given you living water. Water that you wouldn't ever thirst again. And I want to go on a little bit further over here in verse 21. It says, and Jesus saith unto her, woman, believe me. Do you hear what he said? Woman, believe me. The things that he's fixing to say, don't take with a grain of salt. Don't take it lightly. Don't take it half-heartedly. Listen to what I've got to say to you. I'm telling you the truth, woman. Listen and believe. It says, woman, believe me, the hour cometh when you shall neither in this mountain nor yet at Jerusalem worship the Father. There is a time coming that we're not going to be able to worship God and we ain't going to be able to worship Jesus the way we worship today. It's already been said in this revival and we'll keep on preaching it that Jesus is coming back. He's coming back. Listen, it's the truth, it's the word of God. Jesus is coming back. Over here in Revelations. 22nd verse, 22nd chapter, 17th verse. It says in the spirit. Well, listen. Listen what this says. There's another thing that they used to say years ago when they were standing on the town square trying to get somebody's attention. They were called town criers, whatever. Then they said, "Hear ye, hear ye." Before they ever spoke and said the things that they needed to say, they try to get an individual's attention by saying, "Hear ye, hear ye." Listen to what God's word says here. It says, "In the spirit, and the bride say, come, and let him that heareth say, come, and let him that is athirst come, and whosoever will, let him take of the water of life freely." It's free. That's what Isaiah said. It's free. But you got to put your faith and trust in the Lord. It ain't something that you're going to work for. It is free. When Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, on that hill far away stood an old rugged cross between two thieves. Can you see it? Can you imagine it with your mind? Can you look at the cross at Calvary and see how Jesus hung on that cross between two thieves and how he gave his life for us? What a love. What a love that he had for us. Listen to what I've got to say. The God of Word teaches us and tells us that we're separated from him. Let me turn back over here to my scripture reading when I started out with. Let's see here if I can find it. Yes. When I was talking about the wicked, verse 7, it says, "Let the wicked forsake his way and the unrighteous man his thoughts." And this, listen here, this is what I want to say. This is what I want you to listen to. Let him return unto the Lord. Do you hear what it said? It said, let him return unto the Lord. Why does he need to return unto the Lord? Because he's a sinner. Because he's a sinner. And the reason he needs to return to the Lord is because we're separated from God when we're born into this world. Because we're born of that seed of Adam. We're born of sin. And we don't have that fellowship of God. Oh, when we're children and stuff, and at that age that we hadn't reached accountability, we're not accountable to God. But there is a time in our lives that we reach an age that we're accountable to God, and we need to do something about it. We need to seek after the Lord. Why? Because you're separated from him. Isaiah said you need to return unto the Lord. How do you do that? How do you get back in the fellowship with God? You put your faith in Jesus Christ. That's the only way. There is no other way. There is no other mediator. There's no other advocate between God and man except for Jesus. But you put your faith, and if you put your trust in Jesus, he will abundantly pardon you. He will put you back in the fellowship. If you put your faith in Jesus, he will put your trust, he will abundantly pardon you and put you back in the fellowship with God. That's the only way. It's the only way. But what you got to understand, it's free. It's free. When Jesus went to the cross at Calvary, he paid that price. He paid the price because of our separation from God, because we were sin and full of sin. But he was the one that was without sin, and the only one that was without blemish, the only one that was without spot, the only one that could do this. Jesus. He paid the price. He gave his blood. And that's how we can be abundantly pardoned through him, by putting our faith in him, trusting in him, and believing in him that he did what he said he was going to do, and he did it. He died for us. And ain't nobody can can do that but him. You that are here tonight, search your hearts. You might be numbered among us, and you may say that you're saved, but I really want you to search your hearts tonight. That there was a time and place that you could go back to, not a time where you went up front and told the pastor, the preacher you believe, or repeated some prayer, or a preacher prayed for you. I want you to go back in time and place where you felt so much conviction, that you felt so much pain, that you went, you seek the Lord, and the Lord saved you. That you can feel that peace, from that condemnation to that peace that only God can give you. There are people deceived left and right. I've thought about some of those here lately. I've thought about Austin. I've thought about Jacob Riley. I've thought about Nathan. All three of these young men have had their name on our church roll for several years. I can't count them up and know exactly when it was, but their names was on our church roll. And I want to get this off my heart too. I don't believe that this church deceives anybody. I believe the things that are preached behind this pulpit, since the time that I've been here, I've never heard a bit of deception. I've never heard nobody try to deceive anybody. But sometimes that people deceive themselves, but most of all, the devil's a deceiver. He's the one that gets in their hearts and deals with them and maybe makes them think that they're saved when they're truly not saved. But thanks be to God that they did this year, wherever they were at, thanks be to God that they got it straightened out. That the Lord really let them know where they stood with him, regardless of what was going on with them. Knowing that pride could have stood in their way, but they didn't let it. That they was willing to go to the Lord and return into him where they could be abundantly pardoned, as Isaiah talked about. That they knew that if they died in the condition that they were in, that they had enough fear in their hearts that they was willing to search after God and forget about the pride, knowing that hell was going to be their home. If you're here tonight, search your hearts. Don't go on what man has told you, or don't go on what the devil has told you. Do you know by the grace of God that you're saved and that you're covered by the blood? Do you know that? I don't care what age you are or anything else. And I've said it before, you can lie to your parents. You can lie to your spouse. You can lie to me. You can lie to Brother Miller or whoever else you might can lie to. But you can't lie to God. He knows your heart. He knows if you've truly been saved. And I tell you what, I believe you truly know it when it boils down to it. I believe you know. Some of these young people right now, I know that they seem so confused. Well, that's the devil. The devil, he tells us that he's the author of confusion. Yeah, he can confuse you, but I want to ask you once again, can you go back in that time and place? And I'm not saying you got to know the exact time that was on the clock or the exact date, but know that when you went to him with a troubled heart, and he put that peace in it. That's what I'm asking you. If you've got that time and place. You know, I've sat here doing some of the services. I've heard that helicopter flying over the church. They call them life flights. And usually that's a dire emergency. If you hear a helicopter going to the medical center or any other hospital, usually it's a dire emergency. It's really something critical. Otherwise, they would just load you up in a regular ambulance and send you on. But when they call the helicopter in, and try the light flight you, it's serious. And you know what? Just because they fly on that helicopter don't mean they're going to make it. it don't mean that they're going to survive. But I'm telling you tonight, you can take a flight. You can take a flight. One day after a while, you can take a flight and go to heaven. You talking about a life flight, people. You talk about a life flight. Ain't going to be nothing like it. When we depart this old world and take that flight to be with our Lord Jesus. But don't put your faith and trust in the false doctrines that's out there. Don't put your faith and trust in something that somebody's told you. Definitely don't put your faith in the devil. Because I tell you what, he's going to lie to you. He's going to deceive you. He's going to do the best he can. But I'm asking you, do you really have it? Do you? Search your hearts. Don't let pride stand in your way. No matter whatever you've told people at some other time, if you ain't really saved, it ain't going to get you into heaven. I said we can have a life flight one day, that we can fly away. We sang a song, I'll fly away. We're going to fly away. We that's been covered by that blood, because we've been put back in the fellowship with God, because we were abundantly pardoned, like Isaiah said. We that have been pardoned, we're going to take that flight. But don't put your trust in anything else but Jesus. Believe in Him with all your heart. Don't let Satan mess with you and cause you to fall in the deep pits of hell. Because if you die without God, if you've never been put in that fellowship with Him through the blood of Jesus, hell is going to be your home. Does that not bother you? Does that not put fear in your hearts and make you think about it? Isaiah said, ho, listen to the word of God. Listen to what I've got to say. What I've got to tell you is truth. It's free. It's free. It's free to you. It was free to me. And there ain't a one of us don't like free stuff. I don't think. Especially you women, you see sell papers and buy one, get one free. Whether you need it or not, you take off and go to the store because you're getting something free. Well, I want to tell you something, as a man, you can laugh, we're just as bad. We're just as bad. I don't know how many times I went up to Harbor Freight because in their paper I saw that I could get something free. Whether it be a little flashlight, whether it be a tape measure, a pair of scissors, I've got tape measures everywhere. I don't really need them, but I go because it's free. Why would you not want to come to Christ? Because it's free. We chase the things of this world because it's free, but the blood of Christ is free. Trust in Him, believe in Him that you might be saved. That's what you need to chase after. That's what you need to go after. God help you is my prayer. Y'all pray for me. Continue to pray for me that I do what God would have me to do. I come up short. Church, we need to work. I know there are those that I'd love to see here tonight that are not here. There's different things that's going on with them. Don't know what all it is, but we've already said that the Lord can save them anywhere. Whatever's going on with them. You know, the thing is, they know that we're in revival tonight. They know that we've met once again. The Lord can get a hold of them. The Lord can work on them. No matter where they're at, whatever they're doing. Let's pray to that end that the Lord will convict their hearts tonight. Wherever they're at, whatever they're doing, that they'd get in trouble, that they wouldn't be happy, they wouldn't be satisfied of the things that they're doing tonight. That the biggest desire they'd have is to seek after the Lord, that He might be saved. So tonight, let's come to the altar. Whether there's lost here or not, I don't know your hearts. I've done what I'm supposed to do. I've said what I'm supposed to say. And I'm going to be quiet. But church, whether those that's been seeking after the Lord ain't here, we can still gather at this altar and pray for them just as they were here and let the Lord convict them. And that's what we've been praying for, because we know that our prayers can't save them. We believe that, right? We believe that, right? We know that our prayers cannot save them. But why do we come and why do we gather around them? That we pray that God will bring the conviction down on them, that they might be saved, that they get such a storm in our hearts that they don't have no other way to go but turn to Jesus and believe in Him. Let's pray tonight that the pains of hell get a hold of them, like it did me, like it did David, like it did any of y'all that got saved by the grace of God. I'm sure that every one of us that were lost and separated from God, the pains of hell got a hold of us. I know it did me, and I know that's one thing that got me to the place I need to get to, because I feared death. I feared Him that could cast my soul in the deep pits of hell. Let's pray that the Lord would convict them that's not here tonight, or maybe there is a lost person here tonight. I don't know. That's the reason I told you to search your hearts, because I don't know your heart, but you do. You could be numbered among us, but you might not be one of us. That makes sense? You might be numbered among us. You might be gathered with us. But truly, in your heart, you're not one of us unless you've been covered by that blood of Christ. Church, we can come and pray. Pray for the power of conviction upon these lost that we've been praying for, just like they're here tonight. We can do that. And Jesus, God the Father, can hear our prayers. He can hear our prayers. He's everywhere. He's in control. He knows what we're in need for before we ask it. But let's come together and pray tonight, just like they were here, that the Lord would get a hold of them. Let's gather around the altar. Let's pray.